Greetings from Texas. This is Grace in Focus. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this wonderful radio show. So today we are taking a look again at the Psalms. Yesterday on the show, we looked at an entire category of Psalms called Lament Psalms. And those Psalms were specifically individual lament Psalms. But today we're going to broaden the scope, so to speak, and take a look at lament Psalms, but those that are a communal lament. So let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin, David Renfro, our special guest, and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning into the show. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we're here with David Renfro, our resident Old Testament expert. Thank you, David, for being with us.
Pleasure to be here.
Shalom.
Shalom, y'all. We've been going through the Psalms, and I've just benefited immensely from this just by going over the different categories of Psalms. So one of the categories we went over already was the Psalms of Lament. But there's actually two categories of lament. Isn't that right?
That's correct. Individual lament, which means one person is in deep trouble. There's a lot of individual lament psalms where David said, Lord, save me. I'm surrounded by my enemies and they want to run me through with a spear. That's individual lament. But there's another category called communal or national lament. The whole nation is crying out to the Lord because the whole nation is in danger.
How appropriate is that right now?
Right. We need a communal lament.
Around the world. You know, we're all in danger now because of coronavirus and other things. So what I like about that is it tells us that both kinds are appropriate. There's times when you should be coming together with other people.
I could not agree more. I think that is something that we do need to do, Bible-believing Christians. We need to come together and cry out to the Lord. There's nothing wrong with crying out to the Lord. The Lord wants us to come to Him with our needs. I think that's absolutely biblical. We can cry. We can wrestle with God.
Right.
He wants us to come to Him.
Well, what's an example of that kind of psalm?
Well, Psalm 137 is a fascinating psalm to me because it's a psalm really in the post-exilic period. This psalm was written during the Babylonian captivity that went from 605 B.C. to 539 B.C., where many of the Jews were carried off to Babylon, but thousands upon thousands were killed in Judah. Jerusalem was completely destroyed. The temple was completely destroyed. It was a wasteland. Talk about a Holocaust. You know, Daniel was taken away to Babylon in 605 B.C. The poor people that were left were starving,
right,
disease-ridden. Their whole land was laid bare waste.
This kind of gives us date of authorship of the Psalms.
Right.
It spans centuries.
If you wanted to put a date range on the Psalms, it's probably close to 1,000 years.
Wow.
Because you have Psalms of Moses, which was 1400 B.C.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have post-exilic stuff going on in the 400s B.C.
Right.
So you're looking at close, give or take, 1,000 years.
Wow.
To me, that's a testimony also. We should always praise the Lord and always go to Him with our laments, if you will.
Right.
With the issues that we have to deal with. The issues that these folks had to deal with were war, drought. Oh, and here's the one that you might be familiar with, plague. And there's a lot of other things that they could go to the Lord with that affects the nation as a whole.
So this psalm is anonymous. There's no attribution of authorship.
There's no title, if you will. It doesn't say a psalm of whatever, to the tune of whatever. It just starts right in.
Right.
And I love the way it starts, by the rivers of Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we are.
Right.
In other words, we're not by the rivers of Jordan.
Right.
We are not in the promised land.
Right.
We are a foreigner. And that's what he pretty much says. By the rivers of Babylon, verse 1, there we sat down and we wept and we remembered Zion. I love verse 2. It's very graphic. We hung up our harps, which means, you know, harps were one of the musical instruments used in worship of the Lord.
Right.
Well, there's no use to have the harp, so we hung it up on the wall. No use to do that. So, you know, in other words, these people were hundreds and hundreds of miles away from their homeland, and they were depressed, if you will.
Yeah.
Massively depressed. So they hung up their harps. Those who carried us away captive asked for a song, but we couldn't do it. sing us one of the songs of Zion. I love that verse 3. In other words, the Babylonians were taunting the Jews, their captives. Sing us one of your songs.
Right.
And they were so depressed and so upset they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
That shows the extent of the trauma that they were going
through. Which is, by the way, one of the categories of the songs of Zion.
Exactly. Yeah. There's a lot of these elements from other categories, if you will, and that is one of them. What's fascinating is the first four verses of this psalm is the psalmist really laments about the sufferings of God's people during this exile. Verse 3, if I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. In other words, let it fall off. And see, this is interesting, too. What the psalmist is doing here is he's proclaiming his love for Zion.
Right.
Oh, I wish I was back in the promised land.
Right.
He laments, he's depressed, he's upset that he's hundreds of miles away as a captive of these horrible people. Babylonians were not nice people. They were horribly cruel. So the psalmist laments not being in the promised land.
Well, one thing I appreciate about this is, you know, sometimes in modern day, there's a lot of people who suffer from depression, who are upset, who are sad. And often they're told, put a smile on your face, you know, just chin up, cheer up, you know, fix almost like mask your emotions type of thing.
Don't worry, be happy.
Don't worry, be happy, right?
But that'd be a good song, by the way.
Yeah, someone should come up with that. But here, they're like, no, I can't. I can't pretend to be happy.
No.
They're letting their real emotions come out.
That's what I love about the Psalms is it doesn't glaze over these horrible things that these people are going through. It doesn't make it look happy and good, even though things are horrible. This psalmist especially, but other psalmists do the same thing. I'm in a terrible situation. I'm crying all the time. I'm depressed. And I don't see a way out. I don't see any hope. That, I think, is what's going on here in this psalm, is this psalmist is saying, we're hundreds of miles away. There's lots of desert between where I am and where I want to be. Mm-hmm. And there's no hope of going back. So what in the world is going on here? But I don't want to forget.
Right.
I don't want to forget Zion. I don't want to forget. By the way, that Zion represents what? The city of Jerusalem and the sanctuary where the presence of the Lord was in the midst of his people.
All right. So that tell me if I'm wrong about this. But, you know, some people, when they get into that depression, that kind of just that downward spiral, it's like they don't have any source of hope. And so they're just spiraling downwards. But it sounds like the psalmists here, although they are so sad, they're still holding on to this hope. They're still remembering, but don't let me forget
right.
this anchor, this hope that we have.
Right. It's very important that they remember. Even in the midst of judgment, and they deserve that judgment.
And notice, too, they are speaking to Jerusalem as though it's a person. Verse 5, if I forget you, O Jerusalem.
Right.
If I do not exalt Jerusalem. Verse 6, it's like they're speaking to this city because, in a sense, the city represents the Lord to them.
Exactly. And that's what the psalmist remembers. He obviously was part of that migration. He lived before the Babylonian captivity. He was part of the exile and carried away. He had to walk those hundreds of miles. And now he's in a land that he's never seen, and he is extremely depressed mm-hmm. because of the situation that he's in. Like a lot of believers find themselves in horrible situations, and there's no way to say it any other way. They are in a really dire circumstance. Just like this psalmist was. And one of the things is he remembers where he... Oh, I remember the Lord being in the sanctuary. I remember that. And I want that back.
Now, this psalm takes a... It's already dark, but it takes an even darker turn, I notice, in the very last verse. Especially.
Well, this is the last part of his... The psalmist is proclaiming his hatred for Zion's enemies.
Right.
Meaning the Babylonians here. And that's what you're saying, Sean, is right. This is an example of imprecation.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about that briefly, the imprecations in the Psalms. Imprecation simply means you are praying that evil and destruction come upon your enemies. You're saying, Lord, I want you to tear them apart.
Right. Right. I noticed there's two groups. In verse 7, he mentions the sons of Edom, who are, I believe, were descended from Esau, right? Esau lived
Correct.
In Edom, and the Amalekites were kind of related to them, and they were always enemies of Israel, taunting Israel, always kicking Israel when she was down. Mm-hmm. And apparently they did that here. Apparently they were like cheering on the Babylonians as they razed Jerusalem.
During this time, during the siege of Babylon, before they were taken off in 605, the Edomites, the best way to describe it is they were collaborators with the Babylonians. Mm-hmm. You know, and so they essentially were Babylon's allies. So let's go and destroy Judah. It's something that the Edomites wanted to do for a long, long time, and now they had a strong ally to do it.
Right.
And so that's why he mentions Edom here, because they helped Babylon destroy Judah.
Right.
So the imprecation, notice he directly goes to Babylon in verse 8. O daughter of Babylon, who are to be destroyed? Happy is the one who repays you as you have served us. In other words, you reap what you sow. Mm-hmm. I want you to reap what you sow. You were cruel to us. I want cruelty on you. And then verse 8 is graphic, isn't it?
Verse 9, yeah.
Verse 9, yeah. Happy the one who takes and dashes your little ones against the rock.
Oh, boy.
That's nasty. But you know what? The Babylonians probably did that to the little ones of Judah.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So this is a lament. There's no doubt about it. It's a dark psalm, and there's a lot of people in that dark place right now. But remember who God is.
Right. We always need to remember. Remembering is a key theme, or to say it the other way, never forget.
Right.
We are in exile right now, in a sense, because we're awaiting the Lord to return and establish his kingdom. And so as we're in this foreign land, planet Earth, ruled by the God of this world, we so long for the return of Christ and his rule and reign from Jerusalem and then ultimately the new Jerusalem. And so we look forward to your soon return, Lord Jesus, and how we long for you to say, well done, good servant.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, on tomorrow's program, we're going to look at the category called enthronement psalms. So you don't want to miss that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.